Shalom to everybody. After a little of a break, we're going to continue on HaMelech Shegazer Shmad, or otherwise known as Maase Nisim. I know it's been a while since we got it, so it hasn't been a full Hesech Hadas. A lot of the reason was because of a Hesech Hadas, but also because I'm sitting here thinking all the time how to kind of unlock this story in a way that we could give it over in these little nuggets that we kind of give it over in. Because this story is much different than other Sipur Maisios. This story, Rabbi Nachman, is actually the first time that he actually talks about straight out mitzvahs, tefillin, tzitzis. He's talking about a story of a Jewish people being persecuted. It's not just like this fairy tale kind of thing, and therefore the story is kind of taking a little of a different direction. And the story is definitely not, many times we try to explain Sipur Maisios as life lessons, which is beautiful. But to think that that is what Sipur Maisios is, that's a big mistake. It's one of the things that Sipur Maisios is, but every word of Sipur Maisios is another, it's another secret of creation, of pre-Matan Torah, Sipur Maisios Mishonim Kadmonios. From the previous years, meaning the years before, the years of Tohu Vavohu, the 2,000 years before the Torah. So to start, watering down Sipur Maisios to life lessons, although it's beautiful and I believe in it and we've been doing it, I felt like there was just something begging much more in this story, much deeper than just life lessons. So let's try and unlock this story. And it took a while to really unlock this story. And Purim definitely helped it along. I was discussing it with a friend, and who Baruch Hashem is very well versed in Breslov and Sipur Maisios, and within the Purim Suda, believe it or not, we started talking about this story, and we got to a certain place where it gave me a deeper insight into this story. So let's try to unlock this story. I'm talking based on the presumption, and I hope I'm not being presumptuous, that you have already saw the story and you know the plot of the story and you read this story. And if you haven't, please read it now so you'll be able to follow. There's, in life, we balance many things. One of the things, we balance opposing ideas, opposing themes in life. That's what we have to balance in this world. And the one of the things that we have to balance is Metzius versus Mahut. I believe the Mittler Rebbe talks about this in one of the Ma'amarim. Metzius versus Mahut. On one hand, we're people of Metzius. We have a certain address. We live at a certain address. We live at a certain time. We're time bound. We're space bound. We're within a goof. We're within a physical society that we have to live with. There's medicine that we have to. There's a mitzvah to go through the medical way to be healed, and that's our metzius. However, that's not the whole story about ourselves. The true story about ourselves is the mahut of ourselves, the essence of ourselves, and the essence of ourselves is way beyond our metzius. It's not bound down to place, and it's not bound down to time, and it's not bound down to regular medical practices. It's beyond the teva, and that's our mahut. Our neshama, which is part of the idea of the mahut, is way beyond anything of the mechayiv metzius of that which is that we're bound down into this world. And we have to live with that balance. On one hand, we have to live in the world. I mean, a person who is not holding on to metzius, he's crazy. He's a lunatic. He's pushing a lunatic, and many times he's against halacha. If he's not taking a certain medication that's taken for this medicine, unless he has a great alternative that's also looked upon as a way for refuah, so a person's a lunatic, and he's not doing what's right. He's not doing what the halacha asks of him. So you have to live in metzius. On the other hand, if you only live in metzius, then you have nothing ma'alateva about yourself. And the Jews are people who are ma'alateva. And you have a neshama, and therefore by essence you're ma'alateva and you're ma'al zman. So how do you live on one hand living with mahut, on the other being bogged down and being meshubah to metzius? And this is a lot talked about in Breslov. And one place I want to bring it out is in Torah Dalet, where Rabbi Nachman talks of Torah Dalet and Tinyana. Rabbi Nachman talks about the fight between David and Goliath. It's a few lines. I'm going to read it. V'da'ash afilu kishemachnien v'sosin deus chach me'atevo mashpilin osam. Af al pichein im yesh es galus ha'rotzen chazuk v'tokiv ta'im yishadayin yesh sofik b'rotzen she'enu mubor b'berich chazak shemisnag. Sorry, read the wrong thing. Yeah, Sifkata Nyudalif. Bezebechinis Melchamas David veGoliath, the fight between David and Goliath. Ki Goliath ayarotelaris bechachmas shakola piteva. I'm bigger, I'm stronger, I have greater armor, I have a sharper sword. Ki ayonik mimetzach hanachash. But where is Goliath getting all of his information in life? Where is he getting his whole life outlook from? From the Metzach HaNachash. B'pchinas u'mitzchas nechoshes al raglov shetola kol ha'sibus b'chiyav ha'teva. Everything for Goliath is b'chiyav ha'teva. Who's stronger? Who has better tanks? Who bought better missiles? Who has longer missiles? That's b'chiyav ha'teva. Shub'chiyav Metzach HaNachash. But in the end, that's connected to the Metzach HaNachash. I enter a dal to really understand what Metzach HaNachash is. But by only living in the Chiyuv HaTeva, he is opposing the living God, who is way beyond Teva. That Goya was trying to David HaMelech. No, David. Everything, what a kelev anochi, am I a dog here? You're much smaller than me, I'm much bigger, and I figure this out. Like everything's statistics today. When a person gets up to bat in baseball, we know the statistics of what's going to happen. Is he going to hit a foul ball? Is he going to hit a home run? Is he going to hit a pop fly? Everything's statistics. And within the world of Goliath, everything's statistics. And David HaMelech, you're not statistics. You don't fit into the statistics. But we know that David, and he goes on, but David was way beyond. David was way beyond the Chiyuv HaTeva, the Mechiyuv Metzius. David was living with Mahut. He was living with the Nishmas Elokim Chayim, the God that's way beyond Teva. And that was a fight between Goliath and David. I ain't Sham, we're not going to go deeper into that, but that's what's happening in the story. We have these kings. And by the way, there are four kings here. This is going to be the last king, which we're going to talk about, is the fourth king, which represents Rome. Each one is a different klipa and a different shibud of Malchus that was Meshabed Am Yisrael. So now we're dealing with Rome. This last king is the fourth king is dealing with Rome. And he wants to conquer many lands. He wants to rule everything. But he doesn't go out to war. He wants to run the world, and he starts running the world through all of these crazy things. So, the first thing that he does is he starts dividing up the world into seven areas, and then which may be the seven continents. And then he brings the seven, then he knows that there's seven planets. And each planet is a different part of the world. And then there are seven metals. And so on and so forth. He's figuring out the world. And he says, okay, according to those, I'm going to get seven metals together. And he brings, start golden portraits of kings. And he makes this idol of silver and different metals. And this idol, he made a man. I'm just going to read it in the English now, if it's okay. The king gathered together all seven types of metals. He also ordered that he brought the golden portraits of the kings which hung in their places. He made a man. The head was made of gold and the body of silver and the other parts of the body were metals. Thus, the man contained all seven of the metals. The king placed the figure on top of a high mountain. A high mountain. He who controls the mountain controls the land. So that all seven planets would shine on it. And I have the seven planets. He's being mechayev the whole Teva in order to come that he can rule. And he's mechayev the whole Teva. He's within Teva right now. And he's trying to manipulate the Teva. He's not trying to manipulate an Elokim Chaim. Elokim Chaim doesn't play a role here at all. It's all about metals. It's all different parts of the body. It's all about the high ground. And he wanted to conquer the entire world. So, just to stop here, Rabbi Nachman talks about that at the end of the piece, that all of this is keneged Perek Bet in Sefer Tehillim. Now, Perek Bet in Sefer Tehillim, according to most Mefarshim, Rashi being one of them, talks about that David HaMelech wrote this after killing Goliath. So that which we talked about before, the idea of Elokim Chaim versus Chiyuv HaTeva, this is what this is all about. La marag shugoyim, as we read in Perek Bet and Tehillim, ulum yegurik yisyatzu malchiyot v'rozim nostiyachad al Hashem ve'al Mashicho. They try to fight against Hashem ve'al Mashicho. They try to fight against God's being in this world, and they try to take medals. Not only that, ninatkas vosemo v'nishlachu mimera vosemo. They try to throw down the bounds. Let's take the bounds and the chavalim off, which represent and the ritzuos off. Meaning we could take off spirituality from this world, which represents Moser Seimo, is the Ritzuas of the Tefillin. Avoseimo is the cords, is the threads of the Tzitzis. We could take them off. That has nothing to do with the Mitzias. That's not going to save anybody. But Yosef B'Shamayim Yitzchak, Hashem is laughing up in the heaven. Adoni Yilag Lomo. Hashem is making fun of them, saying, you got it all wrong. It's not about your teva. And it's not about you denying tzitzis and tefillin and making a joke out of it. You're wrong. I'm going to be Azi Dabar Leba Be'apo B'choni Valemu. Va'anina Nasachti Malki. I am the king. Al Tzion Har Kodshi. And I'm on Al Tzion, the mountain of Kodshi. You're not on the high mountain. I'm the God. Your metal gods are not the gods. The planets don't answer you, and all the metals don't answer you, and all the continents don't answer you. I'm going to do every piece in this land. Tiron b'shevet barzel, they should be knocked down with shevet barzel, with an iron cast. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm in charge here. And you could think whatever you want, and you could try to put all the medals of the world, and you could make that giant statue and different portraits of the kings of the world. That's not gonna be it. So basically, this last king tries to get rid of this Jew who's practicing publicly as a Jew, thinking that I have the power to run these people. I am on the high mountain. I can do this. And therefore he's trying to bring down the Jew. And he's trying to bring him down and say, you can't do this publicly. You can't be a Jew in the public. The next part of the story is that the king is sleeping and he has a dream. And he dreams about the bull and the ram. The seh, the bull and the ram, which represents a tefillin and tzitzis. And Arius, so this some kind of like angel, some kind of being, was laughing at him. Okay, we have to remember what it said in Tehillim. Az Yitzchak Lamo. Hashem is going to laugh at him. Hashem is going to laugh at him, to this strong, mighty person. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to laugh at. And we go a little further. And we had this dream that he is going to be destroyed by a bull and a ram. Forgetting everything that happened to the previous thing about the bull and the ram, about there's no way that this king is going to put the bull and the ram, connecting that to Talis and Tefillin. I mean, that has nothing to do with him. Right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, let us break their straps and cast away from their strings. But no, God laughs in heaven and says, this is going to be me. Oz Yimal Eschok Pinu. And we'll get up to the next part. That there's an eitzah of a chacham that takes him to a certain eitzah, which is really becomes his downfall. Which we'll get the next time. But the main thing to understand for this time, and we'll stop it here, is that we have the metzius and the mahut. We have to know to live with the mahut within the metzius, but not to allow the Metzius to define everything in this world, and not to allow to be mechayev a Metzius and be tachas a shilton ateva. And this is the battle that's going on here, and we'll see that the biggest issue in the end is going to be the talis and tefillin, some spiritual objects that have no, they're not weapons of war or anything like that. They're the ones that hold up the Jewish people, and they're the ones that kill this king in the end. But this king would never understand that. And within our own lives, we all live this metzias versus mahut. And a lot of times, I think our biggest problem is that we lean a little bit towards too much metzias, and we're too grounded in this world. Read Likutei Halachos, Hilchos Hashkamas HaBoker, that a Jew has to sometimes go beyond the Metzius and go beyond the Teva. That doesn't mean to become a lunatic, God forbid. And that doesn't mean to be menatek from the Metzius Legamre. But a Jew has to be able to rise and get a little bit tefach off the floor and realize that this world doesn't work according to the story that I say it has to work. I don't have a narrative of the story. I don't run by statistics. We have something greater than that. And that, I think, is where the story is going to take us. And B'ezrat Hashem will continue next time.